Blog Talk Radio.
Friday morning for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach. And I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, I had an exciting weekend. I hope your weekend was exciting, too. I hope you got out and did something powerful, something great. For those of you, if it's your first time tuning in, we'd like to say welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. I want to give good morning shout-outs to you in North Carolina, California, New York City, Chicago, right here in our home state, New Jersey, and to my very special hometown, Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, Cincinnati will always be my number one hometown, though I've made several cities across the country, a state where I've lived. Well, we are just thankful to be here another day, and we pray that everyone is safe and that you have a wonderful, safe week. We're waiting for our switchboard to kick in. Things are going great. We've been on the social media tour. Hopefully some of you have joined us. And if not, we invite you to join us on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Blogspot, on Blog Talk Radio, and many of the other social networks. There are so many. I thought there was just a few, and I'm learning every day about new social media. Just so many social media networks out there. So you need to get connected. You need to get plugged in. Well, good morning. And we're here to talk to you this morning about starting that nonprofit business. Helping you to start your nonprofit business. So you have nonprofit businesses. Let's just get right started. We'll get right into it. Now, we're not going to be able to cover everything that you need to know here in this hour's show, so we will definitely have to do some follow-up shows, and it will be listed on our page, and also as you follow us on Facebook and other places, you will see where we will have posts about when there will be follow-up shows. Also, for those of you who are savvy with the computer and you know how to make your way around YouTube and other places like that, we will also post some video clips as well where we will teach you the steps to starting your nonprofit business. And by the way, if you would like to call into the show, if you have any questions, please, you can dial in. You can dial into the show on 347-945-7991, and that will bring you to our switchboard. Hit your number one key, and I will know you are on the line and that you would like to say something. But for those of you out there who are looking to start a business and you've decided that a nonprofit business is the way that you want to go, well, you have for-profit and nonprofit. A for-profit business is where you take some parts of your investment, money, sell your house, borrow the money from a bank, because, you know, if you borrow the money becomes yours. You have to pay that money back. So you take and borrow some money from a bank, or you save some money, or you take in money some kind of way, sell your house, whatever, take money, invest it into a business, okay? You invest that money. It's your money. You borrowed it, or someone gave it to you. Someone loaned it to you, what have you. It's your money. You invest it to your business. After you pay your costs, your expenses, and what have you, whatever is left over becomes your profit. And with that profit, you can take it and reinvest parts of it. Other parts of that profit, you can take and get you a new house, take a cruise. You can do a lot of things with that money that you get from your profit. You can also take part of the profit, reinvest it back into the business, and continue to grow the business more and more. As the business grows, you get more profit, the more you have to invest, send your children to special schools and colleges and programs, purchase more homes or what have you, divvy it out some to your stockholders, whatever you decide to do, it's your profit. Well, in a not-for-profit business, just as the name suggests, it's you're not doing it for profit. So the first thing you want to do in starting a nonprofit, since it's not profit-centered, you don't have that motivation to get more business so that you can get more to have for yourself and your family, homes, other investments. So for a nonprofit, the first thing you want to do, in my opinion, as I've seen other nonprofit businesses start, I've seen some close. There are different formats for a nonprofit business. You get, for instance, some hospitals, most of them are nonprofit. They do not operate just the same way that a for-profit business would operate, where you try to amass large amounts of profit, and that profit then gets either reinvested, or you could do whatever you like with it. It's your profit. But hospitals, all the governmental agencies are all nonprofit. The government is a nonprofit. It does not operate to seek to make a profit. It makes revenue, but revenue is not profit. All revenue is not profit because you got to pay all of your expenses and all of your costs. So all of the revenue that comes into the business is not considered profit. So in a business, yes, you will have some product or service that you will sell to the public. And then what you get back from that sales is revenue, but all of that isn't profit because you have to account for all of your costs that was associated with producing your product or service and any expenses, whether it be utilities, whether it be rent, whether it be your expenses of paying your employees, benefits you may give them, all of these things are part of your expenses. So you cannot consider all of the revenue you bring in profit. Well, in a nonprofit company, you don't have the same format. It's not the same setting. So the first thing you want to do in a nonprofit, you want to do something that is your passion. That's number one. Because in a nonprofit, you don't have profit, the dollars, as your driving force, as your driving motivator to get you going every morning. So it needs to be something that's strong, something deep, something that will make you want to get up and do it every day, even though there's no money coming in. With a for-profit business, you may start out. Of course, you're not making any money. You just started out. You're only investing at that point in a for-profit. Everything starts out as an investment. However, after some time period, you begin to see a profit, providing you're taking care of your books, you're doing your accounting properly, you're operating efficiently, and you have the right team of people that are not wasting your thing, your products and services. And productivity is good for the for-profit people. But for the non-profit people, since you don't have this goal of getting a profit, then you need something to cause you to want to be operating still effectively and efficiently. And so you find something that's your passion. Now that might be feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, clothing the naked, helping the youth, helping the disadvantaged, helping those that may be who are claimed to be, you know, disabled, helping those who, you know, may be orphaned. There's helping those coming out of prison, helping, you know, unwed teen mothers, helping youth that are at risk. It could be some educational program. Maybe you have some type of community-based program where you're helping kids in the arts. You know, a lot of programs in the arts are great programs for nonprofits. Maybe you want to teach teens etiquette. Maybe you want to teach teens how to be a success in life someday. So you put them in a program where they're like a role model, where they get to shadow people. You may have them some type of cultural enrichment, recreational enrichment program where they are going to go out and role model or mentor or be mentored by other leaders in the community who have made a success out of their lives. And so that's your youth. We call that youth development. So there are lots of youth development programs that are already out there. You could possibly, if that's what you choose as your nonprofit, you would go and you would role model one of those, or you would go and investigate. Now, you have to do a lot of research. I would suggest that you research what area that you want to be in. Again, it could be an educational program. It could be a homework program. Basically, nonprofit organizations are started, most of them, probably like 99% of the people that you know with a nonprofit agency, for the most part, they start the nonprofit to fix or to address some social ill, some social problem. That's why you start nonprofits. So again, it could be you may want to impact or increase or decrease, I should say, the high school dropout rate. Maybe you want to help parents on welfare. There's so many nonprofit ventures out there that you could look into. Now, there is something called social entrepreneurship where, yes, it is a nonprofit in nature. However, you have a profit coming in. So, for instance, you could be a nonprofit that does make money But again, that money is used to go back into the nonprofit. And that's, you know, one of the big differences between the nonprofit and the for-profit. In the for-profit company, you make money. And it's up to you how much you want to invest back into your business. Parts of it you could keep. Remember, I said that. But in a not-for-profit company, the idea is that everything will get invested back into the services that you're providing to the community, the whole reason that you started the nonprofit. So if it's feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, clothing the naked, helping the at-risk youth, helping the senior citizens, helping the unwed person, helping children with disabilities, whatever your nonprofit is, remember, it's going to address some kind of social issue, social problem. For instance, you could start a nonprofit that is trying to alleviate, again, the high school dropout rate or the life failure rate. Let's just say there are a lot of teenagers who then become adults, but they've never had a good foundation or structure in life to figure out how to be a success in life. So you may start a nonprofit that might teach children how to play golf or how to build a house or anything that you could come up with that you feel that once a child learns this and gets this grounding, that they will be more successful in life. And then you would have to go about gathering some data. You know, you could, after you decide what your passion is, what area, you may want to start a dance troupe. And again, that nonprofit would fall under the arts, because these are some areas that have already been determined that when children are involved in the arts, they will be better students, they will have fewer chances of having a life that's unsuccessful. Because when you have students involved in the arts, now you're tapping into that child's passion, and the child may be happier, because a lot of the kids that they found that hang around the corners and not doing much, a lot of these children have untapped gifts and talents and skills and abilities that no one ever tapped into. A lot of the youth that are failing in school and playing around and dropping out, come to find out those children were very talented, very smart, but no one tapped into their talent. And the same thing happened to me. Played around, dropped out, and got into a lot of trouble. But look at me today. So I had talent. It's been there all along. But who's going to be there to tap into it? And a lot of times it really has nothing to do with what kind of home you were or you were not brought up in. It's who was noticing your talent. There are people, there are kids who are in very affluent households. But if no one is there to tap into that child's talent, you still see in the media how that child turns out to be on drugs or in jail or some other area of social ill. But a lot of times, then that is the same person who, once they get their mind together and get their life together, they can typically come back and help, because they've already been there. That's if they can figure out how they got there. So many people end up places, but they never take the time to figure out how did they get there, what happened, and what went wrong. So this nonprofit, like for instance, my friend in Cleveland, who has who started her nonprofit, the Sanctuary CEC. She started her nonprofit, about, I guess, 7 years ago. And it is a Christian entertainment complex. That's what the CEC stands for. And she started that because she felt that there was a lack of wholesome family entertainment in the community where families could go and still, at the same time, there's a spiritual aspect to it. And so she wrote it up as a nonprofit. She did her paperwork to get established as a nonprofit at the federal government level, which is a document that we call the 501c3, and there are other 501s, there's 401s and different ones, but the 501c3 would be the status that you would want from the federal government that allows you to be tax exempt, but it also allows for anyone who gives a donation to your nonprofit, they get to write off a portion of that in, on their taxes. And so people, they like that. So if somebody's going to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to your organization, well, they will do it much quicker if they know they get to, they're going to get some of that back in terms of taxes and writing off their taxes. So a lot of people want that status. And not only that, those organizations that are nonprofit who do secure their 501c3 status, they are able to now compete for all types of government grants, and they can get a lot of funding. Again, companies, big corporations are quicker to fund and not a nonprofit 501c3 because they can write it off or write portions of it off. So if you had a, let's just say you had a local community program, it could be a daycare center. The lady I work for actually during the day, her daycare center is a nonprofit. Now, you would think most people who might open a daycare center would probably open it as a for-profit business. But she was very wise and smart, and she opened hers as a nonprofit. So what that means is that she's not only reliant on her efforts of going out, getting customers, getting clients, doing marketing, doing advertising to get business. She now has behind her all of government. Because she's a nonprofit, she can sign, she can fill out for, she's right there in Jersey City, so she can fill out for local Jersey City grant dollars or anything in the, you know, in the city of Jersey City. She can apply to any state level. Well, the next level would be county. So you got your local level, your city, you got your county level. For her, it's Hudson County. She can also apply for any state grants. And then there's the federal government level, grants at the federal government level. So starting a nonprofit may be a very wise business arrangement for you. I mean, you could do both. You could have a nonprofit business, and you could also have a for-profit business at the same time. It's a business entity, and it just depends on how you set it up. So what you would do is, the first thing you would do is, besides finding out what you're passionate at, okay, then the next thing you would do is you do your research into that area that you feel passionate about, whatever area you feel passionate about. Again, it could be the youth. It could be the pregnant teens. It could be women that have been raped and abused, like my friend in Cleveland. She just started another nonprofit, or should I say, this is an arm of her nonprofit, where she deals with domestic violence awareness. And again, not only, when you have a nonprofit, not only do you have an opportunity to get your funds become a, your funds are now part of a much larger pool of money. As for a for-profit, it's based on what you can go out and advertise and market. But with a nonprofit, you have the whole government, whether it's local, state, federal, all pulling dollars together, looking for places to give the money. Okay? The government is a big nonprofit. It's basically what the government is. It gets money from taxes and other ways. But it cannot keep any of that money. Remember what we said initially. A nonprofit brings in revenue, but it does not get to keep it. It has to be spent back into the services that are providing the people that it was started and created to serve. And so the government has this money to give back. Also, as a nonprofit, like we said, companies will also want to donate to you. Why? Because they get to write it off. Individuals who may understand how donations work and how to write it off, they get to write it off. You get something back at the end of the year. You get something to help your business, and it's a win-win, much the way many churches and ministries are also run. Now, a church and a ministry are automatically considered tax-exempt, and this happens. So when you form a church, it's just a basis of filling out some paperwork so that to let the government know, okay, we're starting a church, and this is what we're doing. Whereas when you're just a person, like, say, if I was to go start a nonprofit tomorrow, let's just say I start the Life Development Center, and I want to help people who don't know how to get themselves together in life. And I want to make this a nonprofit, saying that all the money that comes in, I'm going to give that money back to the services of the people, whether it's providing computer training, maybe with some of the revenue that I get through grants from coming from individuals or grants coming from the government or whatever, the money is going to go back to serving the people, whether we're buying computers, whether we are helping people with transportation, we may be helping people get homes. There are some nonprofits that are only there. This is their only sole purpose, is to connect people together. So there are some nonprofits out there that all they are is a resource and a referral system. But they get money from grants. They apply for grants, or they can ask companies to donate to them. But again, everything they get is not for their personal use. If you have a nonprofit, you cannot go and get a grant, take the money, and go buy you a car or a new bedroom suit or a new living room suit. When you are a nonprofit, you must take the revenue, money that you get from grants and donations. It's another way to get money for your nonprofit, and you must take that and roll it back into the services that you provide the people. Now, you know I'm stressing that you're providing services, because if you started a nonprofit and you went and got a lavish office, they don't necessarily see that as services going to the people. So you have to be careful on how you spend the money or how you propose to spend the money, because with a nonprofit, before you get any kind of a grant or any types of donations other than from individuals, you have to tell them what you're going to do with their money. So if I had a nonprofit, the Life Planning, Center, and I wanted to go get money from Colgate, I would have to tell Colgate what I planned. Let's say I wanted $50,000 from Colgate. I would have to tell them what that money is for, whether it's for scholarships, whether it's to build a new wing for people, parents to come with their children, or whether it's for a new training center, new computers, something. I would have to tell them. Whereas in a for-profit, you don't have to. When people come into you, like say you had a boutique, it was for-profit, and someone came in there to buy a dress, you do not have to explain to those people what, let's say they spend $60 for a dress. You don't have to say to them, okay, this out of this $60, 30 of it I'm going to pay my employees, and the other, 30 I'm going to use it to take a trip to the Bahamas. No. So in a for-profit, you don't have to explain to them what you're doing with your profit. Whereas in a nonprofit, you are held accountable for every dime that comes into your organization. You must explain where that money went. Now, in a for-profit, you do something similar. Sure, through accounting, you have to account for monies wherever it's at to your accountant, to the government, because you got to pay taxes on it. But remember, in the for-profits, you're not paying taxes. You're tax-exempt. However, you must account for every dime that your organization brings in, whether it's through individual donations, whether it's through in-kind donations, whether it's through, see, when you're dealing with nonprofit, that's the one of the biggest things you need to know how to do. So step one is you're going to find what you're passionate about. Again, it could be any of those areas. Step two, you're going to do your research. You're going to research other nonprofits that also did the same thing. Step three, you are going to build yourself what we call a board. You need a board. When you have a nonprofit, you need a board, and you need your, when you have a nonprofit, with a for-profit, you don't necessarily have to have a board, but you do need, when you start a for-profit, you do need like an executive team. But you have to name a few people in terms of your who's the CEO, who's the vice president, and things like that. Whereas with a nonprofit, you need to establish what they call a board of directors. You need this board. And you have to come up with bylaws. With your for-profit business, you wouldn't have to come up with bylaws. You could do it later down the road. But with a nonprofit, and you are going for your 501c3, of course, you can start a nonprofit, and you do not have to go for the 501c3 to get your status, to get their non-exempt tax status, to be exempt from taxes. However, if you do not, it will be harder for you to get donations from large organizations. Now, you can get local donations, you can get donations from your, you know, family and friends, but it will be a big, but they're not getting anything, they can't write anything off. And so a lot of big companies who give out money to nonprofits won't give it to nonprofits who don't have their 501c3 status. So it's a very common term, so you might want to look that up as you are starting your nonprofit. You may want to go online and look these terms up. 501c3, it is an IRS term and documentation, because it deals with what? Taxes. And what branch of the government deals with collecting taxes? It's the Internal Revenue Service. So the Internal Revenue Service has a whole big division that deals with your 501c3. And it's paperwork, it's like an application, it's like applying to a bank for a loan, or just like when you apply to college to get accepted into that college or university, it's just like applying to anywhere else. You have to apply to get that status, and it could take a little while. It could take a few months before you hear back from them. However, when you apply, typically they will send you a letter of intent. They will send you a letter showing that, yes, you did apply, your application is pending approval, and you can still begin to operate in your nonprofit status, and you can show that document to anyone who's looking to invest in your company. And then there's a couple of levels for the 501c3. They have at least two levels at which you can apply. And so first thing you're going to do is you're going to find your passion. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to do your research, or as we call it, your homework. Find other companies, that other organizations that are 501c3 or that nonprofit, and then you're going to go talk to those people if you can. And, or if you happen to know someone, find out from them. What are the pitfalls? What are the ups? What are the downs? What are the headaches? And again, it may not be a headache for your nonprofit, but at least you'll have a framework from which to work. You don't want to go into it blindly, because remember, in the nonprofit, you're not there for a profit. So you need to, it's operated different in a for-profit business, and you should be doing it because you really love whatever area of social, of society that you're trying to help. Like I said, the lady where I'm at in Jersey City, her daycare center is set up as a nonprofit. And so her daycare center looks just like any for-profit daycare center. The only difference is, two main differences with the profit and the for-profits. One, you're tax exempt. Number two, there's a different place to where from where you get funding. So in a for-profit company, you don't typically get grants. So for instance, if you had a for-profit business, you're not going to apply to an RFP, you know, a request for funding or a request for proposal RFP. You're not going to apply for one of those. It's a for-profit business. For-profit, you would have to go out. You may sell stock and get people to invest money in your company. Or you can ask your friends and family to invest in your business. You can create more products and services to raise money. But in a nonprofit, you now have the ability to go to the government and apply for. There's an array of grants available at any given moment. So you could start a college, a university, and you could start anything as a nonprofit. That's up to you. It's just based on the way you're going to get your revenue coming in the door, but and then where the revenue goes at the end of the day. So your nonprofit, it has to go back into providing services. You don't get to keep any of it for profit for yourself. That's why it's called non-profit. Okay, it didn't say non-revenue. So revenue can come in. You can sell things and get revenue in the door. But that revenue has to be put back into the services that you're providing, not into a bigger office, not into a bigger building, you can expand the mission. You can serve more people, okay? Maybe you had a nonprofit where you're only serving, to start, 5 people. Well, you can expand that nonprofit. Now you're serving 25. The next year you're serving 50. The next year you're serving 1,000. Much like the way nonprofits like Red Cross and places like that might have started. They start very small, maybe one community, of course, hundreds of years ago. And then they grew over time, and they got bigger and bigger. And sooner or later they're a nonprofit that is so big, whether it's the YMCA or any other nonprofit. But if you look at the history and how these nonprofits started, they started very, very small. You could have a social organization as a nonprofit, for instance, the National Council of Negro Women, the NAACP, and other organizations like that, social organizations that are there to help people give out information. For instance, I was a part of the American Correctional Association. That's a nonprofit organization. But there are some organizations that are for-profit. The Society for Human Resources Development, for instance, that organization is for-profit. Okay, so you can have associations. You can start an association. Let's just say the Deltas or something like that, or, you know, one of the fraternities. This is an association. But yet they may be nonprofit because they set themselves up as a nonprofit. But you can start an association and be for profit. But a lot of associations are nonprofit, and that's because they want donations. They don't want to have to sell a product or service to get their revenue. So when you are a nonprofit, you can do that. So this is, we're talking today, if you just joined the show, welcome, good morning, about how to start a nonprofit. So the first thing you're going to do is find something you're passionate about, do the research. You're going to get that board of directors. You need a board when you have a nonprofit. And let's see, the reason, I'm not sure of the reason why you have to have a board, but you need some partners. You need help. Typically nonprofits, what you're going to do, you have to have people that can help you be accountable, okay? Because, again, if you start getting in a lot of donations, you start getting a lot of grants, you need someone that's going to hold your feet to the fire in terms of this money going where it's supposed to go, and so that the money doesn't get abused, okay? You're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, for instance, you know, people, when it came to any tragedy, whether it be the 9/11 or the tragedy in Haiti or what happened in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina some years back, and individuals began to set up all kinds of feed the children or house the homeless and different things. And so there were a lot of people were saying, send donations, send them to us. Colleges, schools, churches, everybody, just local people next door were starting these collection things, and people sometimes fear, well, where's this money really going? Where's the accountability? So if your organization has the structure of a board, you have your bylaws, people feel more secure. You have your 501c3 paperwork, and then people feel like, well, the money is going to the right place, and then they'll be more eager to donate. So you have to have that board of directors. You have to have your bylaws, which state what your mission is, how you're going to operate, what you consider a member of the organization, and it states how funds will be raised, how funds will be accounted for, and all these kinds of things go into the bylaws. And again, these are documents that aren't very hard to create. You can go online and get samples, get templates. You can go to Staples and places like that, and they have packages there already made up where you can get bylaws and all of that already made up. You just type in your organization's name, because a lot of the language for nonprofits is standard. It's the same across most nonprofits, okay? So you can, most of this stuff is pre-packaged, pre-done for you. Also, in your state, whatever state you're in, the state that you live in, for the most part, has a state website. Well, you know, all states have different websites, right? So you want to go and find out what your state has. So you go to your search engine, whatever one you choose. My favorite is Google, but I'm old-fashioned like that. I find one thing, I like it, I just stick with it. I don't change and get a, try different things. But in that sense, I'm old-fashioned. So you go to Google and you type in, or whatever state you're in, you have a state agency. Every state has an agency that deals with starting businesses. So whether you're starting a nonprofit, whether you're starting a for-profit, you go to the state agency to figure that out. And you go there and you figure out. Now, if you have any questions, please, you have to hit your number one key if you have any questions, and I'll try my best to answer it for you. So you go to the state agency and you try to figure out. You go to, they're online. Typically, they're going to be in the capital city of that state that you're in. So you may live in the capital, depending on what state you're in. You may live in the capital, so you may want to take a visit there. Me personally, I like talking face-to-face to people. It's just something about that for me. I don't know what it is. I'm fine with online. I do it all the time. Oh, hey, that was a rhyme. I'm online. I do it all the time. But I do like face-to-face, especially when it comes to information. I like to get it. Sometimes when you get information online, things can be left out. So I like to be right there in the person's face to ask them questions. And I want to be able to, see their facial expressions in case I miss something. So starting your nonprofit organization is really not that hard, okay? There's, and then now if you're in, let's just say, you can even get a business plan pre-written. Really, you really could out there. It's really not that hard. But now, it's lots of websites that will show you how to do it. So you got to research and find out which ones are more legitimate and authentic than others. So you don't just stop at the first one you come across. If you are in New Jersey, I know New Jersey has the Center for Nonprofit. And I'm not sure how many other states they've expanded into now, but you can go online and look them up, the Center for Nonprofits, and they have all kinds of workshops from soup to nuts, from A to Z, to tell you everything you need to do to start your nonprofit. They will work with you. And the beautiful thing about it is a small fee to be a member, but it's very small because it's a nonprofit. And that's one of the main things about a nonprofit is that cost is usually held down. Because remember, one of the reasons you got a nonprofit was because you're helping an area in society that may not have all the money that people for the for-profit businesses may have. So let's just say you wanted to do a clothing store. can, you wanted to help in an inner city area or somewhere where people don't have a lot of money. And so you don't think your store would be very successful trying to operate because you got your overhead, you got, you know, all that, expenses and things like that, and you don't think that the customer base is going to give you money to keep your business going, but you've been dying to start this kind of a store in this community where you could set that business up as a non-profit. Therefore, you get your funding and what have you to pay for all of your, you know, your building for one, and your employees who are providing the service to your customer. Like, for instance, like I said, the nonprofit that I work for during the day, she has funding to pay for her teachers, who are the ones who care for the kids in the daycare, you see. Now, parents still pay. They're paying, even though she's a nonprofit. Like I said, nonprofit brings in funds. It's about what happens to the funds. They don't go into your own personal account. They go into putting services back into the people that you're there to serve. The reason why you started the nonprofit, okay? So whether it's a skating rink or whatever, it doesn't matter. So again, you have the Center for Nonprofit. They're here in New Jersey. I'm sure they're in other states as well. And they have all kinds of workshops. Now, another place that, so not being a nonprofit just allows you to be able to get a lot more money. Now, another place where nonprofits get their funding from is not only from government in terms of grants, but from foundations. So there are big businesses who create a foundation, and that's their arm to give back to the community. And just about every company has a foundation. You just have to look it up. You have to be a little savvy about researching them. Sometimes they don't make it so, they don't advertise like with big, beautiful commercials the way they advertise the sale of a car or a vacation home or whatever. But they do, sometimes the information is kept more quietly because they don't have that much to give and they don't want to be overwhelmed with requests. But so you have to kind of do a little research and dig a lot. That's why a lot of people, if you have a nonprofit, you definitely want to make sure you have as a best friend or colleague or someone, you want grant writers in your camp. That's why a lot of people who go to college, that's one of the biggest benefits of going to college is that you may be sitting in class, and it could have happened with high school too, but typically students, they may not have that kind of information in high school, but certainly in college, you may be sitting next to a person that one day is going to become the head of some foundation. And if you kept in touch with them, that's why Facebook and things like that are so powerful. You may have been friendly with them in college, and that's 10 years ago, but today they're the head of some foundation. That now, because you were friends with them then, you just send them a quick note, how you doing, you reconnect, and now, voila, you have a foot in the door. Now, this is what some group of people have always done, and then there are other groups of people who have never been good at this. However, they could be good at it if they would apply the same principles. But if you don't go to college, how would you know those people, you know, unless you worked with them? Again, it could be your first job that you had out of high school. And the person could have been sitting next to you. It could have been a very small job. But 10 years later, they could be the head of, again, some governmental agency, some organization. Like, I know a woman who is the head over a lot of grants, but I can't get the grants from the person, unfortunately, because they're a family member. And so a lot of times when you work in these agencies, you can't give to your family. Now, a lot of people do, but that's why we have so much corruption. So, and eventually they do get in trouble when they're discovered. But a lot of people do give. They're in these governmental agencies, and they do give it to their family and friends first, which they shouldn't. The money should go to, in general, the money is not for your, when you get a good position like that, in a for-profit, you can do whatever you want. That's why it's different. But in a nonprofit, you're not there to serve your family and friends. You're there to serve the community. And that's why there's so much corruption in nonprofits. And that's why sometimes it may have a nonprofit organization may leave a bad taste in some people's mouths because of that problem. And the money that was supposed to serve the people served those people's families and friends. And it's not to say that their family and friends didn't need the help. But again, did you give it to them without regard to whether they needed the help or not? Like, I've seen that happen. You see these big churches who do the giveaways and stuff like that, and shoes and book bags and stuff like that, and they put a call out there and said, okay, we're going to serve the community, but your family members who don't need it are the first ones in line. They shouldn't be. If they're going to get in line, fine, but they should get in line last. They should go first to the people who you said you were going to serve, and that was the person in need, the person who didn't have, okay, for the child. Say, for instance, you start a summer camp, and you write to the government and say, I need to fund 20 slots of kids in the community who otherwise wouldn't get to touch water, wouldn't get to see a park, wouldn't get to have these various things. But then when we come and look at your books, we see that only 5 kids in the community that need it are in your program, and the other 15 are people from affluent backgrounds. And that is the big problem, okay? So when you have a nonprofit, you really got to do your research. You really got to know what you're doing, what it's about, why you're doing this. And remember, it's very, very close and next to godliness. So you don't want to be starting nonprofits and you don't have God as your head. I'm sorry, you're not going to be successful, okay? You're going to struggle a lot. So you definitely want to not do it without having the right motives, okay? So the first thing, again, you're going to look at what's your passion. Do you need to start this nonprofit? And then you're going to do, of course, you'll do your whole feasibility study and all of that to see, should you really start a nonprofit? And again, considering that the finances of the nonprofit, all the tax exempt, are you really willing and able to take all of the revenue and roll it back into the agency, or do you feel that some of that profit should go to you? Again, it's going to cause you to do some things differently if you think you should be getting the money. You may start being underhanded, and so you just don't want to go down that road. Okay. Also, your nonprofit, if you have a business and not a for-profit, you start that business, you're the owner, you're good to go. But in a for-profit business, I mean a not-for-profit rather, you're the owner, yes. However, there are other people who may come into the organization, have more knowledge, be more savvy at running that business. So you definitely want to be careful about starting a nonprofit. It may not be for everyone. That's why I'm going over some of the steps here for starting your nonprofit, okay? So first you're going to look up, do some research. What is the reason that you really want to start your nonprofit? Okay, and again, there's so many different ways you can, so many things you can go and serve. So what are you starting it for? What are you going to do? Okay, now you want to look at, the funding, the different ways to get funds to start your nonprofit. You could get donations. You could have, a lot of times people do different fundraisers. You can find donations. You can have people donate to your nonprofit. You can do all kinds of fundraisers. Like typically, you don't see for-profit businesses doing a fundraiser, so to speak. They may do some, but they pretty much raise funds through the sale of whatever their products and services are. Whereas with a nonprofit, you may necessarily not have any products or services. So in order to get funds to serve your people, maybe you're feeding the homeless. How are you going to get the food to feed the homeless? How are you? A lot of your staff for your nonprofit comes through volunteerism. So So don't think that you're going to start this nonprofit and hire all these people and now get the government to pay their salaries, because they won't do it. If you write a grant or a proposal, they give you a formula, and, you know, that's why you always hear people say that working for a nonprofit, you don't always make a lot of money in terms of the employee, a secretary, administrative person, a budget accountant, whatever the person is. They don't typically make a lot of money because, again, if somebody is giving you funds to feed the homeless, well, they understand you have to hire employees, but they don't want to see those employees sucking up the monies that they have earmarked to serve the people. So you want to be, you know, you got to be careful about that. Also, so a lot of your staff will be volunteer, but that's okay because there are a lot of people who love to volunteer. So you want to start building up your volunteer base ahead of time. And you get a lawyer. You can do a lot of the paperwork on your own, but at some point in time, you may want to have a lawyer to help you to look over everything to make sure that you're legally, that you're not going to get sued or you're not going to be bound to any crazy obligations, okay? Now, to register your nonprofit, remember, you are starting a business, okay? So it's still an organization, right? But you want to definitely, like I said, every state has an agency that you launch or start your business with. Now, if you are just doing something very small and you're just going to be doing something in and around your home, something very, very local, you may only need to register your business with the state. But if you're going to be going for grants and going for much bigger, I mean, you may register your business with your city or your county. There's three levels where you can register your business. You register your business with the city, you go down to City Hall typically. The county, you go over to every county typically has some type of agency that handles small businesses and what have you. Or if you're going to go big time, you would go with the state, and so you can start your nonprofit. You can go to the state, okay? And again, don't forget, you got to do your bylaws. You got to do your articles of incorporation. But even for-profits have to do their articles of incorporation. But there are people that can help you with that. And again, don't forget, you're going to need a grant writer. Now, grant writing is not hard, so you can begin to do the grant writing yourself. But what you would have to do is you would have to take probably a grant writing course. You can take them online for free. There are some that are free, not all of them, but there are some that are, okay? Now, for your board, don't forget you got to get your board members, okay? And they have to meet some requirements, so you got to find out what those are. You possibly could get a lawyer. You're going to need an accountant because you're going to be getting in a lot of donations. So this is a good time to make sure you have an accountant. You need your insurance agent. You got to get insurance, any kind of liability that you could be liable for, all your legalities. And then you're going to draft those articles. Get your bylaws draft. And then you're going to file for incorporation with your state. So you file for incorporation. And after you do that, you get your tax-exempt status. That's your 501c3. You put that paperwork in, and you start going to the you start going to meetings. You start going to the nonprofit center for nonprofits. These big foundations in New York, they have the Foundation Center. It's like just a wealth of information about loans and grants and all those things. So we're going to, continue our discussion about nonprofits. Today, the show is over. So, time flies when you're having fun, as they say. So we'll see you back here. We hope this has been helpful for you, and we'll catch you back tomorrow, same time, same place.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Felisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.